Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so I have the first section is verses 1 through 4. The first word of the psalm is a very familiar Hebrew word to us, isn't it? It's hallelujah. It takes a few words in English to translate that, but it's one Hebrew word, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye Jehovah. Praise ye Yahweh. Praise that God who has made himself known to us in that covenant appellation, that name that he has chosen to himself that speaks to his ever-living, always being there to keep covenant with his people, to bless them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to chastise them. He will always be there to take care of his people. So that's the first word of the psalm. We are to praise him, praise ye the Lord. The second command is to praise the name of the Lord. Is that really different, or is that a repetition of the same commandment? Well, it is a repetition of the same commandment, but there's a little bit of nuanced difference there. When we hear praise the name of the Lord, then we also want to praise the Lord according to his self-revelation. That's what we're being reminded to do there. Whenever we talk about the name of the Lord, that is how the Lord is pleased to reveal himself to us. And so if we would just meditate on that together for a few seconds, we would think of the several ways, maybe some of them, that God has chosen to reveal himself to us, right? So we might think of his omniscience, his omnipotence. We might think of his fatherhood, his mercy. We might think of his grace, his kindness, his covenant-keeping name that he's used to reveal himself to us, that he's everlasting. We might think of him as God our Savior, and so on and so forth. So when we say, praise ye the Lord, we recognize that it's that covenant name and then praise the name of the Lord. We're not just to say, you know, Yahweh, 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 or Jehovah, Jehovah, Jehovah. We don't say that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about understanding how God has revealed himself to us, and we praise him in that way. Let us also add to that a necessary implication, and that is that no one may know what God has revealed unless God reveal it to him. There's no knowledge of God available apart from God's self-revelation, either rightly understood in what we might call natural revelation or special revelation. God is in the business of revealing himself, and that was indeed the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only to save sinners, but to reveal who God is. Okay? Then the third thing, the third command, is to praise him, ye servants of the Lord. And the servants of the Lord here are particularly noticed in those that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. And we're going to see this again a little bit later toward the end of the psalm. The psalm is set up in kind of a chiastic nature. We go in with an A, we go to a B, we go to a B, and then we end with an A again. So we end where we began in the psalm. And so what we hear then is we hear being called upon those who are in the house of the Lord serving him, that they are also to praise the name of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. And so this is a special duty upon the officers of the church, that their job is indeed to set that good example of praising the Lord. Okay? Then we move on. Notice, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant, for he hath chosen Jacob to himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. So now we move from the command to praising the Lord to the command to understand why we're supposed to praise the Lord. What are the reasons given here that the Lord's name should be praised? And of course, we have his salvation, we have the Lord's goodness or pleasantness, we have his election, and so on. And so for all of those things, we are told in Psalm 135, to praise the Lord. All right, well, that takes up the first four verses. Now, in verses 5 through 14, we have two other things that we're told to think about with regard to praising the Lord and thinking about the Lord. The first is, well, maybe three things. The first is the Lord's uniqueness. He's the only God. We don't really struggle. We're talking about this maybe a little bit later on today. We don't struggle with Baal today. Where's Baal? You know, we don't have churches dotting the landscape here, you know, First Church of the Baal worshipers. We don't have those here. They're not here. They're gone. How about Milcom? How about Molech? How about Chemosh? Where are they? Well, they're gone. What's the one name that's remained? That's right. The name of our Lord has remained. And so, the first thing that the psalmist apprises us of is, in verse 5 here, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. I hope you saw in your King James versions there the difference between Lord and Lord. The first Lord is the covenant name. The second Lord is the name for master or Lord in that sense. Ruler, Lord, Prince. And so, notice what he says. First of all, the Lord, Jehovah, is great, and that our Master, our Lord, is above all the mighty ones, all that are called gods. And what distinguishes him from those other entities, first of all, he has done whatsoever he pleased in the heaven, the earth, and in the deep places. No one says to him, what are you doing? No one stops what he would do. He does whatsoever he pleases. He is not only sovereign over you and me, he's sovereign over everything. And so that sovereignty is then pressed in God's providential care over the world. And that's the first thing that we see in explanation of the Lord's sovereignty. His acts of providence, creation and providence. So he created it all and he administers it all. And so we have whatsoever the Lord did, he pleased in the heavens, the earth, the deep places, causes vapors to ascend, lightnings for rain, wind out of his treasuries. And so all of that is under the command of the Creator and providential and the sovereign providential orderer of all things. But then notice what he does. He moves to the next step in our understanding who God is, and that he moves from creation and providence to redemption. And now we go to redemption. Who smote Egypt and brought his people out. He gave them safety as they traveled through the land of Og and Bashan. And not only that, he gave them all of the kingdoms of Canaan and the Transjordanic areas as well. And so we have not just God's providence, but God's redemption. He gave their land for an heritage, and heritage unto Israel, his people. And so notice that it's not just redemption, but it is an everlasting redemption. So again, what does this psalm do? It's revealing God to us and what he has done in his mighty acts in order to give us comfort and hope. All right, so then, verse 13, the psalmist breaks out in praise, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." And then notice verse 14. "The Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants." And so notice that the justice of God extends also to his people, and he will do over them righteousness, uprightness, and justice. This is the God that we have. And we might be reminded here of what the Apostle Peter tells us, that judgment belongs first to the house of God, or judgment is executed first to the house of God. And that might sound like a fearful thing to us. Please don't understand it that way. The Lord intends that to us as salutary. The Lord is judging his people in order to root out of us those chinks, those errors, those things of ignorance and forgetfulness by which we violate the first commandment, by which we break the first commandment, not knowing who he is as we should. All right, so then in verse 15, through the end of the chapter, we have... We kind of move out the way we moved in. Now we're going to talk specifically about the idols of the nations and their silver and gold. This is very, very close to Psalm 115, isn't it? Their silver and gold, they have mouths, they don't speak. They have eyes, they don't see. Ears, they don't hear. No breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. What does that mean? It means dead. Those who make them are like them. They're dead like them. They have no breath in their mouths, no spirit in them. They are simply like brute beasts, those that make the idols of the nations. All right, so then, notice verse 19. Oh, also everyone that trusteth in them, not just the makers of them, but those who trust in them. That's an important point to mention there. Verse 19, "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel." Now I want you to see how the funnel comes down. Watch. "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel." What's the house of Israel? Well, that's everyone that has a profession of faith. Everyone, right? Bless the Lord. That's a command to all the church. No matter what the church looks like, it's the command of the church. "Bless the Lord, O house of Israel." Then notice, "Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron." Who is the house of Aaron? Well, the house of Aaron were those that were brought near in the most intimate way to the Lord. Right? Then what? "Bless the Lord, O house of Levi." Well, that's a little wider than the house of Aaron, isn't it? The house of Aaron, those high priests and those who were in on top of the sacred things. The house of Levi, those who were those outside ministers that took up the things and carried them about and handled them after the sons of Aaron had taken care of them and wrapped them up and rightly parceled them. And so we come the house of Israel, and then visibly the house of Aaron, and then the house of Levi, and now look at what we do. "Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord." You see what he's done? Now he's speaking to our hearts, isn't he? Now he's asking us to take a look at our own hearts and doing what the Apostle Paul said, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith." Are you those who fear the Lord? Notice, we have this great, great big wide understanding here in the church. We come into Aaron, we come into Levi, and now we go all the way to "ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord." And then, "Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And so we find out that this blessing rises up. It is supposed to rise up from us, particularly the people of God. All right, well, that's Psalm 135. Let's